The Truth News Network. Maybe the scariest thing there is today is truth in media, especially the news. Get not only the news, but the truth in the news and nothing else. From TNN, the Truth News Network. Without the other guy's spin, here's your host, Dan Newman.
Thank you, Pete. Welcome to Truth News Network. Today, a different take on a hot topic in the United States of America. Today, we talk about this. Will Brett Kavanaugh make it? And don't tune out just because I use Brett Kavanaugh's name and you're tired of hearing it. I am too. But this was is a little bit different. It has nothing to do with anti this or pro that. It has to do with the heart of what's going on with Brett Kavanaugh. Not unexpected, the Democrats announced another demand for the one-week extension in the Kavanaugh confirmation investigation to be extended even further to allow the inclusion of additional allegations against the nominee. I'm certain Democrats did not want it revealed that Professor Ford's activist attorney, Deborah Katz, or at least an associate of hers, began sending out group mass emails on Friday stating, and I paraphrase here, "We need for anyone who can shed light on the true meaning of the words used in Kavanaugh's high school yearbook to step forward immediately. Further, we need all those who will step forward with any and all sexual abuse allegations against Brett Kavanaugh to contact us immediately." It's no shock to me they are willing to circumvent the confirmation process of Brett Kavanaugh at any cost. Their efforts have nothing to do with his qualifications to serve. Their efforts have nothing to do with the constitutional process that's been in place for centuries for Supreme Court justice nominations by presidents with the advice and consent of the Senate. In fact, these efforts are aimed directly at destroying this legal and historical process for liberal left political purposes only. And we're not going to discuss today what their political purposes are because there are many in number and very well known to all of us. What's the price of all of this? Judge Kavanaugh's family is paying dearly for this debacle in numerous ways. On the homepage of our website, truthnewsnet.org, I posted a cartoon that was published today by an Illinois newspaper. It's a picture of a little girl kneeling by her bed. And the caption says, "Kavanaugh's daughter says another prayer." Of course, Judge Kavanaugh, in his testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee, when speaking about the problems this has caused his wife and their two girls, said that his youngest girl had told her dad that she was going to pray for the woman that was involved in all of this. Of course, that was Christine Ford. And in this cartoon, the little girl is praying, "Dear God, forgive my ornery, lying, alcoholic father for sexually assaulting Dr. Ford." It's incredible, folks. It is incredible. That doesn't even account for the numerous death threats they continue to receive that have resulted in 24/7 security for all of them. What about Judge Kavanaugh himself? Until a week ago, an unblemished judicial career replete with glowing recommendations from hundreds of fellow employees, classmates, professional colleagues, and professors linked with his stellar record on the bench was all that should have been and was going to be necessary for his confirmation. I seriously doubt there are any in the U.S. that are unaware of this logjam and his nomination. I doubt any of those have not developed their own assessment after the internationally televised "she said, he said" hearing before the Senate committee last week. There's something important for us all to realize. Your opinion, my opinion, the opinions of all the senators who serve on that committee don't matter at the end of this. Judge Kavanaugh will either be confirmed to the Supreme Court or he will not be confirmed. But none of this other stuff matters in that context. Each person's life who is looking in on this circus will go on. Think about this. Each person's opinion will probably never be factually proven on this, just as happened in the 1991 confirmation hearings of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, amid similar allegations made by Anita Hill. There are still people, there are still senators in Congress today who claim that Anita Hill's allegations were accurate, just like they do now regarding Dr. Ford against Brett Kavanaugh, even though in the Kavanaugh case, as in the Thomas case, there were no corroborating witnesses and no evidence. What really matters, though, is how Brett Kavanaugh processes all this moving forward with his life. Remember this. He is right now serving as a judge on the First Circuit Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. That is a lifetime appointed position. They keep talking about the Supreme Court position being lifetime. He's on the second most important court in America right now with a lifetime appointment. He's supposed to reassume that if his nomination is denied, he's not confirmed, or if he withdraws it. Or will he? Our opinions, or those of even those who are slated to vote on his confirmation, U.S. senators, are not the important opinions in this matter. Nor are those of Christine Ford, who called herself a doctor until yesterday. According to reports, she is not, nor has ever been, a licensed psychologist in California, as she claimed. Now they're calling her just Professor Ford. The only opinion that matters in all of this is that of Brett Kavanaugh. I'm going to explain. Follow this closely, folks. This segment I'm going to call The Coat of Many Colors. You remember Joseph in the Old Testament, actually from Genesis in the Bible? You probably heard this story as a little boy or girl. Joseph was the youngest son of Jacob. Joseph was Jacob's favorite son, and Jacob had 12 boys. Joseph had 11 brothers, no sisters. Jacob gave Joseph a very elaborate and expensive coat of many colors, and his brothers hated the coat, and they hated Joseph for it. It doesn't say so in the Bible, but I think they hated their dad for giving their little brother that coat. They hated Joseph so much, they plotted to get rid of him. Talk about some hatred. Their plan, which they implemented, was to sell him into slavery. Joseph found himself as a slave working in Egypt. There, he was wrongly accused by the wife of his slave master for sexually attacking her. For that, with no proof, Joseph was thrown into prison, where he was held absolutely innocent for 13 years. His release came from a miraculous event regarding a dream that the Pharaoh in Egypt had. None of Pharaoh's palace seers could interpret the dream. A baker who had been in prison with Joseph but was released to work in the palace remembered that Joseph had interpreted a couple of dreams when they were imprisoned together. The baker related that story to the Pharaoh's henchmen. Pharaoh had Joseph released and summoned to the palace. When Pharaoh told Joseph his dream, Joseph immediately told Pharaoh exactly what the dream meant. To shorten this story, and it's a very long story and a very, very good story for you to read from Genesis, Pharaoh made Joseph his second in command. Let's call him the vice president for all of Egypt. And Joseph ruled over the business process of import-export of Egypt's crops and other goods to other nations around that part of the central part of southern Europe at the time. Israel was experiencing severe famine when this was happening. Joseph's brothers were sent by their father from Israel back then to Egypt to go to Pharaoh to seek assistance in the way of food for him, that's Joseph's father, his family, and others. Of course, they ended up before Joseph, as you can imagine, who was in charge of that process for all of Egypt. His brother said for all these years, remember, Joseph was in prison for 13 years. They thought the brother was dead. Never heard from him. When they came before him in Egypt, none of them recognized their brother, but he immediately knew them. Joseph responded to them this way. He said, "How dare you not recognize who I am? You sold me into slavery, let me go innocently to prison for 13 years, never thought to even search for me. How dare you come here to beg for Egypt's assistance?" Well, of course, those of you who know the story know that's not what Joseph said. Joseph immediately confronted his brothers with his identity. When he told them who he was, they were scared because they didn't know how he would respond, but he went down from his high chair, throne, wherever he was seated at the time. He hugged them all, and the first thing he asked was, "Is our father alive?" The rest is history. Joseph provided massive amounts of food to the Israeli people to get them through their famine. It was a multi-year famine. He reunited with his family, and he brought all of them to live in Egypt. You are probably asking, how does the story of Joseph apply to Brett Kavanaugh's Senate confirmation? There certainly are some commonalities between the two, but they probably won't be what you first think. Joseph was certainly wronged by his brothers. It was not his fault that his father loved him dearly, far more than the other 11. Obviously, he treated Joseph different from them. I can't imagine how horrible it must have been for Joseph to find himself one day sitting at the dinner table with his family, the next in chains, going to a slave sale in Egypt to be sold. Many Americans have grandparents that can relate stories of that or similar things that happened to their ancestors. The bombshell in this story is the answer to these questions. What did Joseph do when he found himself a slave and then a prisoner for 12 years, 13 years? Did he quit? Did he complain? Did he lash out to others about how unwarranted his treatment was? Did he threaten other people? No. He quietly waited. He did exactly what he was supposed to do when he found himself in those circumstances. He made himself ready for all things he faced daily while in slavery, while serving his master after being sold and sitting in jail as a sentence for a crime he did not commit. There's a big lesson in all of this for us and Brett Kavanaugh. Let's take a look. No doubt Joseph had every right to hold grudges against each of his brothers for at first hating them the way they did, then for selling him, then for never caring about what happened. Also a grudge against his slave master's wife for wrongly accusing him of attacking her, and against those who held him in prison for more than a decade when he was innocent of all charges. But Joseph bore no grudges. That saved his life, that of his brothers and his father, and an unknown number of his fellow Israelites who he was able to feed during a multi-year famine. How could Joseph do all these positive things after the very ones he helped sold him into slavery, bought him as a slave, wrongly accused him of a crime that sent him to prison, and those who imprisoned him there for 13 years? Obviously, you're trying to figure out where this story is going and how it applies to Brett Kavanaugh. But it doesn't apply to Kavanaugh's confirmation. It applies to Brett Kavanaugh as a man, a husband, a father, a judge, a friend, a coach, a professor, and as a mentor before, during, and after his confirmation or his not being confirmed, if that happens. How Brett Kavanaugh comes out of this, even if it ends horribly and his reputation is permanently destroyed and he loses even his current lifetime appointment to the First District Circuit Court of Appeals, in addition to that Supreme Court confirmation, how he handles all of it, that's really all that matters. Joseph figured it out. People wrong each other all the time. Life is seldom fair. Bad things often happen to good people for no fault of their own, and nobody owes us anything. It's in that scenario that Brett Kavanaugh finds himself today. He must move forward with his life. We all must move forward with our lives, no matter who takes advantage of us, who uses us, who hurts us, who lies to or about us, or whatever bad circumstances come our way that seriously alter our otherwise perfect lives, we must find ways to deal with the hurts, the horrible circumstances, the life changes. But most importantly, we must deal with the people responsible for the bad stuff that comes our way of no doing of our own. It's all on them. How do we do that? How does Christine Blasey Ford deal with that? Got the answer for you next at the Truth News Network.
Long live the courageous.
May God bless and keep you always.
May you
always
the tenacious.
May you always do for others.
The ones who push forward
do for you.
And give back.
To the stars. Climb on every rung. May you stay.
Long live the greater good. The helping hand, those who fall and get back up, and long live the truck with the strength to overcome, the will to outwork, and the commitment to outlast them all. Ram, proven to last.
Telling the truth the mainstream media doesn't want you to hear. Dan Newman,
TNN,
the Truth News Network. Again, here's Dan.
And today our truth is a little bit different, of course. How can Brett Kavanaugh expect to deal with all of this stuff that's on his plate through basically no fault of his own, at least no evidence corroborating any of the allegations made against him so far? And let's just say at the end of the day, there isn't any, that it's all been wrongful. He's not guilty of anything. How does a person deal with that? How do you get rid of the anger, the hatred? Well, it comes from other people, folks. All that hurt and anger, Brett Kavanaugh is getting it from everywhere. And it's all from people. The only way to be able to deal with it successfully for long term, throughout our lives, is through forgiveness. Forgiveness in itself is healing. Honestly, mental professionals make clear how important forgiveness of those who wrong us is. Not only does it clear our minds and hearts of anger and other negatives that live with unforgiveness, forgiveness releases us to love all over. Enter into healthy relationships again and be available for new opportunities in our own lives and the lives of others that come our way as we go forward. Often, unforgiveness blinds us with hurt and rage that prevents us from even recognizing good opportunities, good relationships that we simply ignore, mistrust, or just walk by. No human will ever be truly successful without relationships with others. Our DNA comes from somebody else, and it's comprised of all the things that are part of establishing and developing healthy relationships with others. Our lives are all pretty much part of others' lives, and vice versa. Because of that, and because of the human nature we all share, people often hurt other people. Being hurt in this world is inevitable. Unfortunately, forgiveness should inevitably meet it out by all. But sadly, many hold it tight, refusing to give it away. How does this relate to the Kavanaugh stuff? That's simple. Judge Kavanaugh has much to get over, much to forgive others for. He and his family members must be drowning in anger and unforgiveness right now for the thousands of wrongs being perpetrated on them, and they're just piling up every day by the hour. Even though Judge Kavanaugh and his family members each know deep in their hearts that much of what they are seeing, hearing, and reading are not based on facts, but on other people's emotions. Knowing and accepting that are two different things. Sadly, I believe their lives are forever changed by this. I just hope the four of them and the judge's parents we saw in the courtroom can each find a way to work through it and get on the other side of unforgiveness. Forgiveness is the key for them all. They certainly need to forgive because it allows them to trash the pent-up anger and hatred they may be experiencing. But there's one other big reason forgiveness is necessary. They don't know yet what amazing good things are ahead for them that they might miss because they harbor uncontrolled unforgiveness. Forgiveness is for the present, but forgiveness is for the future too. Think about this. If Joseph had not found a way to forgive his brothers, his slave master's wife, or his jailers, he probably would have never been in a mental place to help anyone else like he did with that first dream interpretation. It was being at that place that enabled him to be summoned by Pharaoh, interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and then been appointed vice president of Egypt. He then would not have been able to restore his relationships with his brothers, reconnected with his father, and he wouldn't have been able to feed millions of his people for several years through a famine. You know what would have not happened if Joseph had not forgiven? I bet you don't know this. Today's 12 tribes of historical Jewish people who comprise Israel would have never existed. Each of his brothers and Joseph were the original founders of each one of those 12 tribes. Israel, as the world knows it today, would not even exist. Is this all just a story? Well, I'll say this much. If it is, it's a really good one. But one thing is certain. Joseph understood and implemented in his own life a trait we all should seek for ourselves, and we would encourage everyone we love to seek it too. That's forgiveness. Forgiveness has so many benefits that begin with relationship restoration. Why not give it a try? You know what? I bet the Kavanaughs will. I bet they've already started that process. Hey, listen, different story today, different perspective today, but a real one. Thanks for being here.
It's a lot to take in, but when you need a refresher, it's all here. 24/7, 365. Every podcast, every blog. TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.